Blog Talk Radio.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, this is definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today I think we're in for a special treat, because we'll be exploring the world of independent movies with a very special guest. It's none other than film critic and author Phil Hall, who's written two very wonderful books about the subject, The Encyclopedia of Underground Movies and Independent Film Distribution, How to Make a Successful End Run Around the Big Guys. I just love that last title. I've had the pleasure of reading both books, and they're not only enlightening, but they're also fun to read, even the one with Encyclopedia in the title, believe it or not. And that's because Phil's sense of humor, as well as his knowledge, shines through in both books. Now, I'm just checking to see if we've got Phil right here. Let me see if I can click him onto the show. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Betty Jo.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm just so glad that you're here. In fact, I'm very excited to have you as a guest. You know, I titled today's show, Hooray for Independent Films, because I think movie fans or movie addicts like me should see non-mainstream movies whenever possible, if only to get away from these big special effects, car-chasing, explosive blockbusters. But I believe you should give us your definition of an independent film as our first order of business, don't you?
I would think so. Independent film is sort of difficult to define because a lot of people are claiming independent films are something which they really aren't. I look at independent film as basically being a production which is independently financed and created by people who are not in any way, shape, or form connected to the Hollywood scene. A lot of people view something like Lost in Translation or Sideways as being independent films, and I really don't think of it that way. I think of them as being lower-budget Hollywood films because there's really not that much independence in their production history or in the talent that's involved in it. My idea of independent film is something which is completely divorced from Hollywood, that doesn't have any inkling of studio or insider influence in its production, in its cast, or in its crew.
Oh, I see. These are films that are completely outside the studio system, so they usually don't attract much financial support or attention.
Well, no, they don't. Traditionally, they haven't. Though independent film has really evolved over the years when independent film began. We're going all the way back to the silent era. They were made by people who were working outside of the nascent film industry. But as soon as these individuals were able to make money and get some prestige going, they became Hollywood insiders. And that's basically been one thing that's been consistent about independent film. When an indie film artist is able to get some cred, so to speak, he or she becomes a Hollywood insider, and then there's a new generation of independent filmmakers who are trying to get their film seen and to get themselves known.
So, Little Miss Sunshine, you know, last year's comedy success, probably wouldn't qualify for indie status then.
Not by my definition, no. I mean, it's made with, well, obviously Alan Arkin won the Oscar for that, but prior to that, he was an Oscar nominee, as well as Greg Kinnear and Toni Collette. I don't really see that as being that kind of an independent film. I don't know about the history of the production itself. I'm not that familiar with the film's background, but something like that, to me, it seems more like a lower-budget Hollywood film than a true independent film. I think something more along the line of Hal Hartley's films as being closer to independent production than something like Little Miss Sunshine.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. But I'll bet our listeners are curious about how and why you became interested in independent movies.
Well, basically, I was assigned to review them. It's just a very simple story. I was writing for Wired magazine some years ago, and I was sent video screeners of some films which I never heard of, and I wasn't aware that these films were being produced far beyond the so-called Indiewood or Hollywood scene. And so when I moved over to FilmThread, I got to see more of these films, and I was really fascinated that so many films are being produced around the country, independently financed productions. And the more I looked into this and the more of these films I saw, the more impressed I was by the depth and scope of talent that was out there.
Well, you've really sort of built up a wealth of experience in reviewing these films in the independent film area. You must have some favorite indie films. Which ones come to mind, and why are they your favorite?
Oh, dear. I hate to play favorites.
I've got to throw out one to you, though.
All right, go ahead. You can go.
I've got to throw out Moving by the Friedman Brothers.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That was mentioned in the Encyclopedia of Underground Movies, yes.
Right.
That's a very, very funny movie. And it's an original film, too. It's about a man who comes back from vacation and discovers his house was stolen, the entire house. And he and a weird friend of his go on this journey to find out who stole the house. And that's one reason why I like independent films, is that they try, most independent films, I should say, they try to avoid a lot of the repetition that you see in Hollywood productions. If one formula works in Hollywood, then all of a sudden there are dozens and dozens of similar films along that vein. Whereas an independent film, maybe because people aren't constrained by the Hollywood system, they can be more daring, more edgy, more iconoclastic, and go after stories that would probably never get a green light in Hollywood, such as Looking for a Stolen House.
Well, I just love the way you described this movie in your book, Phil. I still remember that phrase where you say that it was one of the funniest underground films ever made, and you said it mixes equal parts Kafka and Beckett with healthy pinches of Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
So that really should make people want, I think.
It is, and a lot of good independent films are intelligent because the filmmakers don't have big budgets to work on, and that challenges them to rise to the occasion. They can't have expensive CGI effects like you'd see in the current Transformer film. So they have to basically use language and situation in an economical way, but also in an intelligent way to drive a point home. And that's a hallmark of good independent filmmaking. I should point out, too, that not all independent film is good. There are plenty of bad films out there.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
But when you find these little gems, I mean, it really pleases the movie viewer, I think.
It's a joy to do that as well, because I'm also able to help filmmakers who, working independently, aren't really able to get the level of recognition they deserve. And that's one of the beautiful things about online film journalism, is that many sites such as FilmThread, where I work, and Real Talk Reviews, which you're the editor of, they're able to shine a light on films that are not in wide release, or in many cases not even in theatrical release, may only be playing in festivals, and can help the independent filmmaker get some attention that he would otherwise not be able to achieve.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to be sure to ask you about is, I know you've interviewed a lot of these indie filmmakers and worked with them, and I just wonder what it is you admire most about them.
I think the willingness to take a chance, because filmmaking is really a gamble. People don't make films for the sake of making films. They want to make a profit on it, use it to leverage that production for a career in motion pictures. And working independently, you have to scare up your own financing. Many people self-finance. Other people go to investors. You have to get cast and crew who, in many cases, may be untrained or new to the field, so it's a gamble there. I really love their spirit and the fact that they're willing to take this chance. A lot of people with weaker constitutions would never consider doing it.
Well, I know, and they have to have a lot of risk-taking in their makeup to be willing to do this. I think the internet and the digital filmmaking has really helped some of the indie filmmakers. I received a little screener the other day that called 42 Story House. Have you seen that?
No, not that one.
And it's by Todd Langan, and he actually wrote the first two screenplays for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but this is, everything is done just by him, and 1 to 4 minutes movies, 42 of them, all about him and his house, and it's just hilarious, and he's selling it himself on the internet, selling the DVD on the internet, you know, on his website, so I think this is one new development that's been very helpful to the indie filmmakers.
Well, digital video has been the great equalizer, because prior to that, the independent filmmaker would have to been able to shoot the production either in 16 millimeter or, if they have the money, in 35 millimeter. Digital video is considerably less expensive than working in film. So many people who would have been financially shut out in the past are now able to make films. And the internet is wonderful, too, for that reason that even if a film doesn't get picked up by a major distributor, the filmmaker has the option to sell DVDs directly from their website or from other sites like Amazon.com or Netflix or Cineflix or GreenCine.com. So the opportunity is out there to be seen.
Well, I'm certainly glad about that. Why do you think movie fans should search out indie films, and where can they find them?
Well, there are many places they can look. A lot of cities have film festivals that offer independent films that may not be in theatrical release, so that's always a good place to start. Some cities have theaters we refer to as art house cinemas that specialize in independent films, so always keep an eye out for that. Going through the internet, actually, sites like Cineflix specialize in contemporary independent films. They could read up on new releases on sites such as Real Talk Reviews or Film Threat to see what's out there. There are specialized sites as well which are devoted to specific genres in independent filmmaking, like horror and sci-fi. There's a great many independent films relating to the genre, and a lot of websites covering those releases.
Oh, I think that it's just great to have all of this activity in cyberspace, because that's where I live. That's where I spend most of my time. How about you?
I spend too much of my time
there. I think that's true with me, too. Well, most importantly, where can listeners obtain your two wonderful books?
Well, the wonderful books can be found either at your local bookstore, if you're lucky. If not, go to Amazon.com or my publisher, Michael Wiese Productions, at MWP.com, and you could obtain the books from there.
Now, would you give that your publisher's name again? I didn't think it came through clearly.
Okay, I'm sorry. That would be Michael Wiese Productions. And the website is the acronym MWP.com.
Okay, P is in productions.
Correct. Or you can just go to Amazon.com. You can find the book there as well, whatever is easiest.
Well, I highly recommend these two books for movie fans, and also your recommendation that all of us who love the movies do a little bit more in terms of searching out some of these indie gems. It's been just great having you on the show, Phil. But before you go, is there anything else you'd like to say? We've got just about one more minute.
Well, I have a new book that actually came out this summer. It has nothing to do with movies. It's called The New PR. It's all about contemporary public relations. And any of your readers out there or your audience are interested in learning about PR techniques and strategies, you can find that on Amazon as well.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that information with us. I'm gonna check that one out myself.
Okay.
This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to all the wonderful folks at Blog Talk Radio who make this show possible. And I'd like to thank Phil again for being our special guest and everyone who listened today. Please come back next week when our guest will be Joey Naber, star of the Oscar-winning short film West Bank Story, a delightful musical about a Muslim girl and a Jewish boy who fall in love, much to the dismay of their families. Bye for now, Blog Talk Radio.